If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Neve Kavanagh.
And I'm Garrod Farrell.
And we are listening... No. See, this is because he never lets me introduce it. And you are listening to...
You've done 105 episodes where we said the exact same thing.
I know. But you just had a brownie and I had a bloody oat cake. Right? That's all I'm going to say.
I can only apologise, mate. You said cookie when I was going out. You said
I know. Okay, when did that become oat cake? Hi, I'm Neve Kavanagh.
And I'm Garrod Farrell.
And you're listening to Agony Rants.
Newsreader vibes.
I know.
That's what we have this morning.
I know. He's like Anchorman here. He's like hating
yeah,
on me.
Something that sounds like that, yeah.
Hating on me.
That's what you say in the car on the way home. He's an absolute anchor. Complete another anchor.
No, completely.
Anchors the show. Like the anchor he is.
How
it's wonderful to see you. How are you?
I'm okay. I just wish my car would stop being so passive aggressive to me.
Neve, now I'm going to be honest with you. I feel like you're throwing blame around left, right, and centre this morning. I feel like we've got you on a bad day.
No,
everything's a problem.
I'm in a good way, but the thing is, you know, I bought a new car last September, right?
Yeah.
So it's a year old, right? My car with me.
It's a nice car
with me.
Oh, it's like white.
It is.
It's very nice.
I'm not sure about white.
No, I think it looks great, Neve.
Yeah, I know.
Because when you said a white car, I thought that's a bit footballer's wise.
It is a small bit.
But then when I saw it, it's gorgeous.
No, it is a good car. And I have to say, it's a Skoda Octavia and it has this huge boot, right? I mean, you could have two dead bodies in there and nobody'd ever know, right? Put it this way, there's been PAs and everything in the back of that car. But in a year, right, I have doubled the mileage on it, right? So I've done about 28,000 miles on it.
Neve drives it like she stole it.
I swear to God, I live in my car. But here's the thing. You know what these new cars, they keep telling you stuff. Like, so, it's driving me demented because actually it's constantly reminding me at the moment that I need an oil service, right? And to be fair, it's only a couple of months since I had the oil service because I ignored it for a few thousand miles the first time it told me, right?
Yeah.
Because obviously I drive it more than most people, so I do have to get a change more often and get a service. But every time I get in the car, it's the first thing it tells me. It tells me several times during my journey, and then it tells me as I'm getting out, it gives me a boing and says, service this car.
Yeah.
And it's not even about the oil. Now, you can understand the oil. The oil is an important thing, right? But it tells me my window washer fluid isn't good. It tells me. And then it bullies me the whole time I'm driving. It reminds me about my mum when I was young, like, you know, telling me to clean my room. It's like, I feel guilty every time I get in the car and go, oh, I must do that.
I'm the same. Like, my car does something similar. And I'm used to, like, the car that I had previously was like 2008 Mini, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it just didn't... You know, like you get like an engine management light, which is basically like, you know.
Usually before it dies.
Your engine is 30 feet behind you. You might want to stop.
Yeah, but you used to be able to do something about it because you could physically get in at
but
it.
But this is like, I get into it now. It's like, bing, low fuel. Bing, tire pressure, bing. And you're like,
well, it seems like a lot in one sentence.
It. And also, like, I was giving my friend John a lift there and I have, it's got these things. It's like park assist. So that like it beeps if you're, you know, like if you're reverse, it's like beep,
no,
beep, 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 beep.
No,
right?
I get it. Yeah.
And it's also, it's got this thing that I have turned on because I'm still not used to the width of it.
Oh, I know that's
and
killer.
And it's got like a thing that if you veer over the line, it'll beep.
Yeah. My friend had that on her car. She was raging.
If you haven't got the indicator, like it beeps. But then the other thing it does is if you are going quickly and there's something in front of you, it goes beep. It's like this collision warning. So I picked him up at his house and we were driving down to Nace to go for a cup of coffee. And like the roads are kind of narrow there. And he was like, Jesus Christ, your car's like a high dependency unit. Like, what's going on? Like, just assume you have any sort of skills when you're driving it. Like,
I know. It's so funny because my friend has that thing where if you went over the line, it beeped, right? You know, so But the funny part about that was she was raged and I was driving her home one day and I didn't make a beep once and she was raged. Rachel, because she thinks she's a better driver than me.
Yeah, well, now, to be fair, I do veer towards the middle of the road.
Yeah.
I just do.
Not in life, though. Just, no. Just when you're driving.
Maybe I pick a side and I stick to it in life.
It told me that I was, you know, in 1,000 miles, you're going to need an oil change.
Like, yeah, 1,000 miles is a long time.
Yeah, you don't think about that. No. Except I did it in a week. Yeah, okay. You know, so...
My boyfriend, he services his car the whole time.
He does it himself.
Yeah, so he orders all the stuff on Mick's garage.
Oh, yeah.
And then it all arrives and then he drives down to his brother's garage and he just does it all.
Oh,
I know, it's very sexy, Niamh.
I was going to say very that's sexy. Very butch. My you husband say, gets like, the overalls
I'm just,
on.
I'm just down doing an oil change. I'm like, you drive back very quickly now. Well, there's still an oily musk on you.
No, oh, I know. There's something about them doing, you know, manly jobs, isn't it? Like,
no, yeah, it's very sexy.
I
very
know.
Sexy.
I don't think he feels the same when I'm making him a shepherd's pie. Yeah. Or so, cleaning the toilet. It doesn't seem to have the
sometimes
same.
Sometimes I just want to take a hammer to the cistern. So.
Can you fix that?
Just to put the spice back in the cake.
We're so similar in some ways. I know.
Every so often we meet each other on a new level.
And we do. Yeah. It's amazing. Even after all this time, my goodness. So yeah, my passive aggressive car. If I think I would fix that, I'd be happy. I mean, you know, it's I just. To be fair, if I got my oil change, it would stop.
I know. But see, the thing about it is, it's like you need an oil change in 1,000 miles. But it's like, come on. 1,000 miles could be 6 months away.
Yeah,
not I'm not
for
listening
me.
To this Bing for like...
I know. It is a bit much now. And it tells you constantly. Like every now and then, you're just driving along and it's fine. And then suddenly you hit this flash happens. And it's like,
I pulled into the hard shoulder there.
Really?
Because I had to change a setting there a couple of weeks ago. I pulled into the hard shoulder because it told me that my eco score was low.
No.
I was just like, now, hang on a second.
As if you don't have enough guilt.
A diesel car. Of course my eco score is low.
Now.
I'm belching out diesel fumes all across the country. Of course my eco score is low. That's like, whether I accelerate too quickly or not is not going to change that.
Anyway, but how's your week going?
It's grand. I did a clear out, Niamh.
Did you?
Clear out, yeah.
So funny, because I've been doing that too. Come on.
It started now, Niamh. It started. Okay. What I did was I have a black sack. Like what I do with a clear out is...
Sorry.
I hang a black sack
okay.
on the press in the hall.
All right,
on that
okay.
door. There's a black sack hanging on the door and we start to dump things in.
Okay.
Because here's the thing that happens with me, right? That's because I live right beside a charity shop, people keep giving me things. Like, oh, could you drop that into the charity shop? Or, you know, or I'm like, or if I'm in a maid's house and they're clearing out and it's like, I'll go to the charity shop. And I was like, I'll take it. And then I just throw it in my press. I feel like I'm a satellite hub for Oxfam.
You're like eating a charity.
You can drop it off. You can drop it off in Oxfam or you can just drop it into me.
Gross. If I had known that, I have about 4,000 books there I can give you.
Oh, no problem.
We did a couple of, there's been a couple of house clearances over the last while. And so we've got, from old aunties. There's a lot of old auntie stuff coming our way.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously there's a bit of emotional situation going on there. So they just live there till the emotion dies.
Yeah. That and then, goes very quickly.
Yeah, very quickly when you're falling over them. Or if you have to clean them.
Yeah, when you realise you've got a load of dusty, ugly ornaments, you're like, what? Maybe I don't need this. You know, maybe the memorial card is enough.
I'll remember them fondly. I have discovered that we have man drawers all over the house.
Yeah.
There's no one man drawer.
I know.
So
tell him?
I'm really chuffed. I'm doing it section by section. I'm really doing very well. Very impressed. But I came across a load of stationery. You know, and do you know,
my weakness, Niamh.
We love a bit of stationery.
I love a bit of stationery. Do you know what I bought this week?
What
no, you
I?
Finish. You finish. No, I'll tell you what I bought.
You know, notebooks and all that. That's fine. Notebooks will never be thrown out. Even the ends of notebooks I keep, right? Because I can't cope with myself.
Yeah.
Right? Because I love a notebook, right? But here's the thing. Stationery. And clearly when the kids were in primary school, I stocked up on a lot of stationery.
Yeah.
There were Pokemon sets and everything in them. Like, you know, little pencil and rubber ones.
Yeah.
And look forward to, I have a sister. And you know the geometry sets in the tin box?
Yeah.
Right. I had about 6 of them. 2 completely unused. Some of them, you know, minus the one thing that they were missing.
The protractor.
The protractor is always the one
the
that's missing.
The protractor is always missing.
So luckily I have a teacher. I had a shoebox, like a Nike box full of stationery. I met her for my weekly walk and I said, here you go there, teacher.
I'll tell you what I have. I bought, this is how addicted I am to stationery.
Oh, I love stationery. Love it.
Whenever I see a bit of kit, like head stuff has a laminator, right?
Did you want one?
I want a laminator. I bought during the week. I was in Lidl.
Okay.
And I bought...
Were you in the middle aisle?
Laminated. It's the middle aisle. The stationery in the middle aisle is absolutely banging. They had no laminators. I thought they did, but they didn't.
Oh, no.
But what they had was they had the pouches for laminators. So I came away like...
With the pouches, but you don't have a laminator.
I don't have a laminator.
Okay.
And what happened was we were shopping the way we shop, which is my boyfriend goes in with a list of all the food we need and I go to the middle aisle and buy a speedboat. That's the way our trips to
Lidl go. So he saves some money.
Yeah.
And then you spend it. Yeah. Okay.
So he's in buying fruit and veg and I'm over going, do we need a chainsaw? We don't not need a chainsaw.
In apartment living, there's a lot of use for chainsaw.
Exactly. So
it's very hard to get rid of the body.
I was knackered.
Okay.
Because I'd driven back from wherever I was the night before. And we'd gone to Lidl. And I was doing a little bit of shopping.
Oh.
So I was in the middle aisle. He was getting all the stuff we need for the week. So I bought a stamp. You know, like a stamp, like a date stamp.
Okay.
But this is a stamp that you get a tweezers. And then you get this little thing with loads of like the rubber alphabet and you can put whatever you want on the stamp. I thought, nothing has ever been more essential to my life than this piece of equipment. I bought it straight away. It took 2 full hours to put my name and address on that stamp. 2 full hours under like a jewellery light practically with a tweezers putting this thing together. But I've never been prouder of anything. I stamped my name and address on absolutely everything I own, which, you know, given, you know, identity theft, GDPR. It's actually not ideal. So now everything has to go in the shredder. Anyway.
Yeah, I know.
So I have a stamp. I also bought those laminate pouches, right?
Okay.
But halfway through the shop and I did what I normally do. I was like, I'm a bit bored now. I'm going to go out to the car. You finish this, will you? And he was like, yeah, Grant. So I put my stuff into the basket. And then he texted me from the checkout queue and says, are you buying laminating pouches? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, but do we have a laminator? I was like, no. That's absolutely not the point. They're on sale.
I will have a laminator. That is
exactly.
For the
at some point
future.
I will. And I'll be glad I saved €2 on these.
What are you laminating?
You see, this is my problem.
What is it?
I would love a laminator.
Why?
I think it would be absolutely brilliant, but I have no idea what I'd laminate. And every time I go on Amazon,
I know what you'd be laminating.
I was in
anything.
But I was in Lidl and I was like, they've no laminators. I'll go on Amazon. So I was having a look on Amazon. I was like, well, I'll buy a laminator. And there was one for €28. And then I was like, Booker, what are you going to laminate?
No, you don't. You don't need to laminate. And anyway, you can always ask the lads in here to laminate for you if you got your own pouches.
It's not the same.
But you don't have your own pouches. Did he not let you buy
them?
No,
I bought them, yeah.
Oh, well, then you have your own pouches. They'll let you laminate.
Oh, he knew better.
Oh.
He's like, don't you take something out of my basket.
I mean, you know,
deal breaker.
Even with my stationery clear out, right, and I sorted them all beautifully, and I even had, you know, elastic bands around all the pencils and all that sort of stuff. So I have all them all grouped together beautifully in the one place. You know, this is what they say to do.
Yeah, yeah.
But actually, you know, I'm looking at it, I'm thinking the only thing I really use on a regular basis are pens.
Yeah. If you are listening to the podcast and you have a laminator,
oh my God,
can get in touch immediately.
And tell us what you laminate.
DM and tell us what you laminate.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm on board. I'm absolutely on board. All I need is like, literally give me 2 suggestions. I'll buy a laminator. I want one. Do you want to go? Maybe I should just, it's my birthday. My birthday's coming up. I'm going to buy myself a laminator.
Oh my God, that's so in
that's
the post.
That's a gift to myself.
So in the post, my God. Yeah, so that's been my week. It's funny, actually, I did my man drawers. Now I have 3 empty drawers in my front room.
Nice. I wish this podcast would end so I could go and order a laminator. That's all I can think of. Attention, Agnorance listeners, I am on tour. Glamourhammer is running until March.
Wow.
I'm having a great time. I started back in September and I didn't realise how much I missed it. I will be at the Everyman in Cork on the 20th of October.
Oh, so nice.
Yeah, it's a nice place. And then I will be, then I'm in Nace on the 2nd at the Moat Theatre.
The Moat,
2nd
great
of November.
Theater, yeah.
Then I am in Sligo at the Hawkswell on the 3rd.
Nice.
Castle Bar, the TF Royal on the 4th. And then the INEC in Killarney on the 5th. I don't know who planned that. That is 4 days of absolute hell.
So you're really enjoying being back.
Who planned that?
Do you have a chauffeur?
Nate?
Do you have a chauffeur?
Sligo, Castlebar and Killarney.
Nice.
In 4 days?
Castlebar. Oh, that's not bad.
Oh, the arse is going to be numb.
The only hard journey really is from Castlebar to Killarney.
To Killarney.
That's
going to be a nightmare.
I've done it. It's fine.
Anyway, I'd love you to be there. particularly at Killarney, when I'm sure I'll be in great form.
Killarney promises to be very exciting.
Also in the new year, I'll be doing more UK dates. So I'm doing a Museum of Comedy in London on the 20th of January.
Wow.
Then I'm in the Attic in Southampton, I think on the 25th of January.
In the Attic? That's a bit ominous. I'd be a bit worried about that.
I'll have another Baker Street on the 9th of February, and then we'll be plugging in dates. I know there's the Mullingar Arts Centre, there's Longford, there's Care.
Wow.
A few more. And then there's the Alley in Strabane. Anyway, this should be all on sale by the time this comes out.
Yeah, brilliant.
But yeah, anyway, come along. We'd love to see you. And also, if you want to say hello after the show, just have somebody get me. I don't do what Niamh does. Niamh walks out, and anyone that wants a selfie can come up. Unless I'm requested, I go out the back door.
I don't always do that.
Niamh, you do. You're very kind to your fans.
Well, sometimes because the diva that I am, I just swan in 5 minutes before the gig, and I park just outside the door, and so I have to go out the front to get back to my car. That's what happens.
Niamh pulls up out front across 3 disabled spaces. I'm an artist.
Tragically true.
GerardFerrelly.com if you want to get tickets, or you can go through the links in my Insta bio.
Gerard.
Niamh.
You know the way that we're up for the best comedy podcast in the Irish podcast
world? I do, Niamh.
Do you know the way
we
are?
I do.
Now, let's be honest, we probably won't win that.
No, we're probably not going to win. And I'm going to really struggle to control myself.
I know.
We don't.
I know. And let's be honest, you know, we are winners in our own heads.
In our hearts. You're a winner.
Yeah, okay.
You're a winner.
Many times. Many. Anyway, but actually, we have an opportunity to win another award in it.
We do.
And it's in the hands of our lovely listeners.
The Listener's Choice Award at the Irish Podcast Awards. And you can vote for us.
Yes, before October 19th. So for God's sake.
Do it quickly. Get all your friends to do it. Get all of your
dogs, cats, whatever.
Dogs, cats, friends with million alt accounts because they harass people.
Yes.
Get them all to vote for us on irishpodcastawards.com.
Create false accounts.
Absolutely.
Anything you want.
The other thing that you have to do, it's very important if you're voting for us, is when you vote for us, you get sent an email confirmation.
Yeah, you have to.
And you have to click on a link in that email for your vote to be counted.
Yeah. That's very important.
Niamh.
Gerard.
We have an announcement.
I know. When we have an announcement, your voice gets really low.
I just think it draws the listener in.
No, but this is such an exciting one.
It's good. We have merch.
We have merch!
Our merch. It's now buyable.
I'm very excited.
We have mugs. Agony Rants mugs.
Of course. Who wouldn't want one of them?
Of course.
I mean, we can never have enough mugs.
We have Agony Rants totes.
We do. Totes. I mean, that's bags for most of us. Like.
Yeah, Niamh calls them bags. I call them totes. Yeah. Because that's what being gay means.
Yeah, it really does.
There's a Gerard bag and a Niamh bag.
There is.
Mine is never use a trampoline on a balcony.
Yes, and mine is never underestimate
the power of a well-placed leaflet.
I know. See, he has been listening. I'm never that sure.
The other thing we have is we have a do not disturb sign.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, which I have to say, it's my favourite piece of merch. Yeah. We're not sure what we're doing with that now at the moment yet.
Okay.
Yeah, it may be available. It may just be available to our subscribers.
Could be.
Who knows?
Could be.
We're not sure. And if you are a member of Headstuff Plus, you get a 10% discount.
Oh, you do.
And if you are a subscriber to Headstuff Plus, you get a little present if you subscribe in October.
Yes.
A little present in the post.
Just a little something, something.
A little something, something.
So
agonyrants.com is where you'll find all of the links that you need.
Yes, please come see us.
Listener, friend of the show, Naomi Coleman.
Oh, we love her so much.
We have Naomi Coleman news. Naomi has a new album. It's called The Edges, and it's available to download or stream from the 20th of October.
And is Love Will Tear Us Apart on it?
Love Will Tear Us Apart is on it.
So good.
And Lost Our Way is on it.
Oh, love it.
She has a duet with Gemma Hayes called Gave It All Away.
Wow.
It's a great album. I've heard it. I heard it in her kitchen.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. And we love her. I might try and get her in for like a little
chat.
Little chat with a problem.
A chatting. She was brilliant the last time.
She was brilliant. She's fab. Her music is amazing. Yeah. You can stream or download on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you do your listening.
I know. She's beautiful.
We adore her.
Yeah, we do.
We are pausing for a moment to remind you that Agony Rants is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Yes, it is. We are the jewel in the crown.
We're the jewel in the crown, Niamh.
I know, whether they like it or not.
I've made it very clear to them.
I mean, we think we're the jewel in the crown.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is very much a one-way decision. If you would like to subscribe to Headstuff Plus, we would love it because that means we would get paid for the episodes.
Nice. Nice.
And there is a great deal. It's better than us being on Patreon. We have a much better deal with Headstuff Plus. Mm. So if you subscribe, more of your money goes to us than it would on any other platform.
Very true. And we do appreciate the people who are already subscribed.
Yes, we love our subscribers. So much so.
What do you get if you're a subscriber?
If you're a subscriber, you get bonus episodes from all of the shows in the Headstuff Network, including us.
Vintage Rants.
Vintage Rants.
Very good.
Tell them what Vintage Rants is.
Vintage Rants basically is a program where Grode and I read an old program. So it could be from the Jackie magazine from like 50 years ago.
Old problems.
And what we do is we read out the problem, then we give our reaction. And because the people who wrote in are probably still not alive.
Dead.
We have free reign. There's no worrying about any sort of legal situation.
There's no legal issues.
And then we talk about how Claire and Kathy answered it. So it was really funny. Or Kathy and Claire.
Or Abby. Or Mariella Frostrop.
Whoever we find.
And it's out every second Thursday.
Every second Thursday. Plus, you get ad-free.
The other thing that we're doing for our Headstuff Plus subscribers.
What are we doing?
Is because we realise Vintage Rants has just started and there have been people that have been supporting
for a long time.
Mm-hmm. So, now we know we did have bonus episodes, but there was nothing of any
new
significance. So these are people that have been supporting us for a long time. So if you've been a Headstuff Plus supporter, we're doing something for you.
We're going to send you something, but you have to send us an address to send it to.
But when you sign up, you didn't give an address. So what we're going to do is we're going to email you a form just to put your address on.
It is optional.
And we're going to send you a gift, a present.
Just a wee gift.
A little something.
A little something.
So that's something to look forward to. And if you subscribe to Headstuff Plus in the month of October.
Mm-hmm. We will also send you them.
We will also, because we'll be sending them at the end of October.
Yeah.
If you would like to order merch and you're a member of Headstuff Plus, there is a discount code in your My Benefits page on Headstuff.
That's very true.
Podcasts.
And you will want all of
you'll get
of
a 10%
merch.
Discount.
Yeah, all of
the merch is good, Niamh.
I know.
The merch is good. Another show on the Headstuff Podcast Network that we absolutely adore is Sissy That Pod.
And
That's the podcast we are promoting this week.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a great show. They cover all episodes in every franchise of Drag Race. And the episodes of Sissy That Pod are online within 24 hours of that episode
airing. That's pretty amazing.
It's pretty impressive.
I mean, it's even more professional than us. Like.
But anyway, judge for yourself.
Sissy That Pod is a reaction podcast to all things RuPaul's Drag Race. You may have seen the memes or you may have seen the queens, but if you watch the show, then you're going to want to listen to Sissy That Pod. Every week after the TV show airs, we have a new episode with a new guest analysing, speculating and dissecting the show. Who's going to win Snatch Game? Will there be a lip-sync Lollapalooza? Who's going to be crowned Miss Congeniality? These are all big questions in our world. I'm currently covering Drag Race Season 15 with our extra special guest host, comedian and actress Erin McGaffey. So, in the words of Shania Twain, come on over and come on in to the world of Sissy That Pod, wherever you get your podcasts, or on Headstuff Plus.
Niamh, we have a follow-up.
Oh, I love a follow-up. Who's this now this week?
This one is... Oh... This is from Dean.
Dean.
Remember Dean a couple of weeks ago?
If
you haven't listened to this episode yet, Dean's father passed away, sadly.
Yeah.
And Dean, his mother and Dean were obviously very upset. And they were
friends.
They were having a conversation one night where Dean did a very kind, lovely thing and suggested that it ain't over. To his mother, you know, there's a second act.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess it just didn't go well for him. They fell out. And Dean was very upset.
I remember.
And it was a very sad story. But we have a follow-up, Niamh. Do you want to read the follow-up?
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh, I'm very excited.
It's a lovely follow-up. I'm excited.
Okay. Dear Niamh and Grode, just writing to update you on my problem. I just want to thank you for your absolutely stellar advice.
That's why you like this one, I think.
You are both so lovely and kind. And when I listened to you, I burst into tears. We made him cry.
Aww.
You really cleared it up in my head. I was beginning to feel like I had done the wrong thing in suggesting my mother date whenever she is ready. When I wrote to you, I really felt the rift between us and was starting to grow. And I was so worried we wouldn't be able to repair it. I did what you suggested, Grode.
Thank you.
Wow. And that same day, I called over to my mother and I just apologized. Oh my God. As a mammy, that just makes me well up. Honestly, I have no idea how much I'd like my children to apologize. I mean, they don't have to have done anything.
Just once.
More importantly, just come and talk to me. Be nice. She seemed surprised that I was apologizing. And then she apologized for the way she had spoken to me. So it was kind of a misunderstanding on both sides. Probably didn't even know why. We both ended up being very emotional. Oh my gosh, we made them both cry. I then told her about writing to you guys on the podcast and she seemed absolutely horrified.
That's absolutely fair.
But when I played it for her, she was thrilled that I had asked for you or asked you for advice. And also she said she hopes that Garode doesn't get to pick her home.
Oh, yeah, that was my. Yeah, I was like, look, Dean, it's all to play for here for this woman.
So grateful for your advice and glad I asked for it. Slept properly for the first time in months. Thank you so much, Dean.
Ah, that's so lovely. That's really, really nice.
Now that's the kind of follow up we love, yeah. Isn't it? That and, you know, I burned down his buildings. We like those ones as well.
Yeah, I do. I always like I love a bit of vengeance, but I do like when we heal a rift, Niamh.
No, it is a nice thing. It's nice.
We're like the UN. Yeah.
Well, you know, you always live in fear that when you're solving people's problems, well, not solving, but when you're commenting on people's problems, that you might affect them in an adverse way. You don't want that now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but I don't think they don't write follow-ups. They write legal letters. No.
Do you keep them from me as well?
Yeah, you're shielded. Shielded needs shielding. We're so happy, Dean. We're really glad that worked out. I'm absolutely delighted for you. Yeah, I guess, you know. The only way is up.
Anyway, I'm delighted, Dean. As a mammy, it just makes me fill up.
It does.
I do. I can't help it.
She's emoting here beside me.
I am very emotional.
Niamh, we have a problem.
Right, tell me what your problem is, Garode.
Dear Niamh and Garode.
Okay.
I am such a fan of you both individually and together. You are dynamite.
I love that.
I enjoyed your show so much. Oh, sorry.
Yes.
Oh, I enjoyed. Past tense. Okay. Sometimes it doesn't sound like a show at all. which is exactly what they say on Head Stuff.
Yeah, we sometimes get that.
That didn't sound like a show at all.
It's all about context, isn't it? Or the tone. It's very hard to get the tone from text.
Are we slightly unprofessional? Yes, we are. Do we lack preparation? Yes, we do.
However, endearing.
It's this ramshackle approach that has endeared the listener to us. I'm a gay man in my late 30s, of course you are.
Our demographic.
I am settled with my partner and we both have a family. And we both have family that is very supportive.
Nice.
I am from a big family and my sister recently told us that one of her children is non-binary or possibly trans. As a family, we were all obviously supportive. But behind my sister's back, there has been a lot of backbiting and eye rolling. I have witnessed this and I'm furious. Partly for my sister and niece, but also I can't help but feel that the support that I was given when I came out is somehow tainted because I am sure that this backbiting was going on then too. I'm very annoyed at them, but I don't know how to articulate it. I'd love to know your thoughts. I don't want to show down with my family, but I do feel I need to say something. What do you think? Owen.
Well, Owen. I'm with you. No showdown is required. And I don't think you can look back and say whether they did or didn't. Judgment. This is quite difficult because everybody deals with things in a different way, right? And the truth is, it's an adjustment.
Yes.
And it's an adjustment that they don't necessarily know that they have to. And some people really, really struggle if anything isn't exactly where they used to have been, right? Or what it is, if it's outside their space. So it doesn't make them bad people, but, you know, but you know, it is very difficult for you to look at that and not judge your experience of coming out, even though it felt like positive experience at the time.
Yeah.
But the reality is it is an adjustment, right? Non-binary,
yeah, it's a change.
Trans, whatever change, even when I said I was moving up the north, that was a big adjustment. My mother took some from my bed for 3 days because I moved in with a divorced Protestant. You know what I mean? Like,
shame the family. She brought shame to the family.
Shame. You know, but adjustment is difficult, right? You know, it is difficult. So you have to allow that space. But you also don't have to allow that kind of conversation. So instead of being, confrontational about it, I would be, you know, diverting the conversation into something more positive or just say, I don't really like that kind of talk. Can we just look at it a different way? I mean, gently. I think people always feel they have to be combative about it. But, you know, I don't think you need to be. I think you need to be thinking about how you're going to respond to it. I think it's great that you're thinking about it because you will need to respond to it. I think if you start with anger, you're only fueling it.
Yeah.
I think you just take the sting out and say, listen, you know, this is who she is, who she wants to be. You know, there's an acceptance in that. Some people will accept it, some people won't. They may or may not have accepted whether, you know, you're gay or not. It doesn't really matter. They love you, so they try and make space for it, but they don't always understand it.
Exactly.
And so lack of understanding sometimes allows them space to be a bit ignorant about it. And that's a bit of a shame.
Yeah. And I think what needs to happen here, though, as well, Owen, is that this is the circle of
life
and evolution.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And particularly evolution in your family. If you came out, let's be honest, if someone comes out in a family, the rest of the family talk about it behind your back. Whether it's positive or whether it's negative, conversations happen.
If you change your sofa, they talk about it behind your back. I mean, it's the thing. This is just another thing.
Yeah. Let's not pretend
that other conversation didn't happen.
Like, let's just, you know, let's all be adult about this. Yeah. Like, the person that isn't at the table in a big family is the person that everyone's talking about.
Yeah, without a doubt.
The thing that you have to do is your family have already had somebody come out. Mm-hmm. So you are now responsible for the evolution of your family with regard to this issue because you're now at the table and going, no, we're not doing this.
Yeah. And actually, you don't have to be confrontational in it. And I think that's really good. The great thing is you come from a more positive space and say, listen, lads, is this how you talked about me? You know, but try not to be angry. I mean, anger, and I understand your anger because, you know, it's not just on behalf of you, but also your niece and your sister who is trying to do a very supportive thing and create a safe environment for your niece.
Yeah. I think there is this feeling among people who are not part of the LGBTQ world.
Yes,
or
I know.
People that are just on the fringes of this stuff are just, you know, they've no exposure to it, that are kind of like, oh, what's going on? All these people are taking over. It's like, no. If you need to explain that to these people, what you need to say is that all of this stuff is based on feelings. And there's a limited number of feelings, and we've had them since the dawn of man.
Yes, exactly. Right?
So if a child is confused, or a child feels they're in the wrong body, or if a child feels that they're gay, or whatever it is, what we have now are words. Like, that's what's evolved.
That's what's evolved.
Like, the people, like there isn't more people now.
No, you're right.
There isn't, you know.
It's just,
we just have names for the confusion that children feel at various points in their lives.
And more importantly, it's not hidden behind a door. And nor should they be embarrassed about it.
The reasons that we have those names are so teachers and parents can go, my child feels they may be non-binary at this moment.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, well, then we know how to deal with that. We know how to support them, as opposed to going, he's a bit confused. Nobody knows.
Yeah,
and then the child just sits on their own.
And is confused and unhappy.
And gets no support.
You know, we also must take on board that some people will never adjust to it because that's just the way they're wired. And, you know, and they don't mean any badness by it necessarily, but you shouldn't accept it without a doubt. You should not sit there and let anybody diss it. But at the same time, fighting people like that, not people like that, but if people decide that they're not going to budge from an opinion, no matter what it is, there's no point in fighting it. You won't change it.
No, just,
but your behavior may change how they react to it.
What you can make it clear is, like, you believe whatever you want to believe, but
I'm happy.
I'm not sitting here and listening to it.
No, exactly right. You don't have to sit there and listen, but you don't have to fight it. And I think you're right. Confrontation won't win this war.
No.
In that sense. And that's not the right word for it. But you know what I mean? It won't achieve anything in this group.
Because people will always feel the way they want to feel. But you can just make it clear that...
Yeah.
I think that particularly within families, I think what people do is they go, well, I mean, obviously what we all believe is, and this is a bit, and it's all, you know, and they expect like the buy-in of everyone because they're a family and we're all just being very reasonable. And
yeah.
And that's, it's like, no, you've actually crossed a line here.
I mean, and some people don't have the skills for it though. I think it's a bit difficult.
Well, people are thick. Some people are willfully ignorant.
They are willfully ignorant.
And like, I think it's, like, I do think it's important that we have, that you're able to say, oh, this is what this kid is going through at this time. And I think calling it something doesn't mean, you know,
it doesn't mean it's
forever. It doesn't change anything. It's just like, well, this is what this is. So this is the support. This is how we
deal with that. And, you know, I mean, and I think, you know, how many times in life do you go through different changes when you're trying to test out and feel how you are?
Like, I was only thinking about this. I'd say when I was a kid, I was non-binary for a while.
Oh, I would say.
I was reared with girls.
Yeah.
So I was very, and I fancy boys, but I was a boy. So I did go through a phase of going, like, what? I don't understand all this gender. I don't, like.
Yeah.
You feel very confused.
Yeah.
But then you realize that you're a man.
Okay.
That just likes Nikki.
Okay. You know, sometimes when they describe our podcast, they write clean underneath.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, I think that there is.
No, I get it.
Like, rather than saying to a kid, you keep all your confusion in your little head.
No, no, that's so wrong.
I mean, especially for young boys. When I think of my male straight friends, I don't actually know a male straight friend that conforms to what the idea of a
male straight friend,
male straight man is supposed to be.
No, I know, because we're all very different, and how we approach things and who we are in any given moment is different. The reality is, when you make decisions at any stage in your life, in your personalities or in your wants or your who you are as a person or emotionally or whatever, you will come across people who won't be able to understand it.
And the other side of this as well is that there is a whole generation of people that grew up when it was like this, and they now feel that because we're talking about it, there's more of it. There isn't.
No, it was exactly the same.
We're just, and like, pardon us if we don't look to that generation, like the generation who, like, threw their kids and mothers and babies home and, like, sold kids to America and
let
them be abused by priests. Like, sorry if we don't look to that generation for as beacons of child protection.
Validation.
Thank you very much. No.
Yeah, but it's not, now to be fair, that is not just that generation.
No, it went back years.
No, but what I'm saying is that attitude.
Oh, no, there's thick people. There's thick people of all ages.
No, that attitude. It's not just that generation.
There are morons at every age, Nathan.
Yeah, you're right. We'll not restrict the moronic behavior to one generation, okay? It's a bit unfair because there's quite a lot of fantastic people in that too.
Of course there is. What you were doing is you are being the uncle that has been through this before, and it is our job. It is our job, because I'm the same age as you. It is our job to
help the next generation.
To help the next generation through this. Mm. And the sad reality of it is that the statistics of, like, self-harm, suicide among LGBTQ kids.
Huge.
And teenagers is massive. It's the biggest killer of men under 50.
I know.
So
it is heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking. It is heartbreaking. But, and it's great that you know your responsibility in this own. And I'm not saying, like, to be clear, to reiterate what Niamh said, the calm, rational one in the group, it isn't a row.
No, it's not a row.
It's a conversation with clear boundaries.
Just not wanting to engage in it, I think. But not allowing it to happen around you, and be very clear why that is. You know, but the problem with confrontation is it immediately provokes.
That's to their face.
Yeah.
You can throw petrol all over their cars if you want.
Absolutely. Lose your BAP in the safe space. That's, you know, find a safe space for the losing of the BAP.
And I do think as well that is important that you do lose the BAP.
Yeah. And actually,
With your boyfriend, go home to your boyfriend and give out yards about them, because it's better that you do that in a controlled environment.
Without a doubt, Owen.
So that you can be reasonable where you need to be.
And I will say this, you are valid in feeling that way.
Yeah. What a great gunkle. He's a great gunkle. Well done, Owen.
Is it a gunkle?
Yeah, gay uncle.
Oh, is that a thing?
Gunkle, yeah.
You know, I call myself a granty because my nieces and nephews are starting to have children. And now I'm a granty.
You're a granty.
Yeah, do you like that?
That's actually quite cool.
I quite like that. Rather, yeah, great aunt.
No,
great aunt. I need to be wearing lace.
No. Great. You're not a great anything. You're a great singer.
I'm not a great anything.
No, you're not. You can't call Niamh Kavanagh a great aunt.
Oh, no, I know.
No. You have a young soul, Niamh.
I love Granty, though.
Granty's kind of cool.
It is a bit cute.
Yeah.
Not going to lie.
That is cool. I like it.
I mean, I'm not keen on the fact that I'm that old, but anyway.
We want massive follow-up.
Oh, we do,
massive
Owen. And nothing but love and support here for you and your niece.
Yeah, well done.
Well done, you. Dear Grode and Niamh. Grode, I went to see you in Vicar Street. They always start off with your show. Well, to be fair. And I swear to God, I never laughed as much in my life. There you go. It was just so funny.
So funny.
I was actually sore afterwards.
Not my problem. You got what you paid for.
Niamh, no, this is really his. Niamh, you are the best of us. I love your voice and your practical advice. There you go.
I can just add to that, but that behind the scenes, Niamh is not as practical as she sounds.
That's very unfair.
She's not practical at all, and she's vicious.
Is that slander?
But I will say her voice is better in real life.
Is that slander or libel?
Who knows?
Anyway, I was really moved by your advice to the guy who is trying to encourage his recently widowed mother to date again.
Zayn.
Oh my gosh, Dean, Zayn. Yeah. I thought that your empathy really shone through, and I hope he has been able to repair his relationship with his mother. Well now you
as
know.
You just heard that he
you
did.
Know. That's so good, Eve. Okay. However, I want to tell you that I did the same thing when my mother died. I am an only child and my mother died after a long illness 6 years ago. Aww. I'm really sorry for your loss. My father and I were not really very close, but that changed after mum died. And after 2 years, I had a similar conversation and encouraged him to find happiness. I don't know if he found happiness, but he found Irene. That is one of the best sentences I've ever read.
I don't know about you, but I can picture Irene straight away.
I'm in love with you, Eve. You've no idea. And we haven't known any stars.
Bowler haircut, bitter face.
Yeah, well, a thundering bitch, apparently. Irene is a mouthy, self-involved monster with a gaggle of equally awful daughters. They have been seeing each other for 2 years, and just before I went on holidays, I got a phone call from my father to say that he was going to propose. Yeah. I couldn't help myself, but I said he should really think hard about it. He was annoyed, and we had a cool period where we didn't speak. Oh dear. We made up and had a chat about it. He thought the problem was with my inheritance. Did he or Irene think that anyway? But I haven't even thought about that. I just feel that Irene runs my father in circles. I don't know how he can be happy. But as much as I hate to admit it, he is. My problem is I feel I am losing him to all of this. There you go. That's what's wrong here. They are making wedding arrangements and I am trying to get involved, but I feel excluded because it is the monster and the gaggle making all of the decisions. I don't know where to turn on this. The wedding is in an early November and it is all stressing me out. In other news, I've just found out that I am pregnant with my first baby. Oh my goodness. Aww. Which is very exciting, but I feel totally distracted by this. I'm looking forward to telling my father, but wanted to wait a bit because it's very early. Apologies if I sound selfish. I'm just feeling very lost at the moment. Eve. Oh, Eve, darling. Do you know what I want to do right now? I want to just go and get Eve and give her a lovely hug. A lovely hug. Do you know what? Hormones are a killer. Right, for a start. And I'm not saying that's where the source of this problem is, but it will be aggravating you at the moment.
Yeah.
Hormones. Your body's going through one of the biggest changes that's going to happen to your life until menopause, and I'm not even going to discuss that. But anyway, but what I'm
really?
Going to
say... No plans discussing it with me.
Oh my God. But all I'm going to say to you, Eve, that your feelings will be well heightened, and then the timing of all this is quite difficult. First of all, congratulations. And I really hope, I feel very honoured that you told me before your dad.
Yeah.
But no, honestly, Eve, and I'm not trying to make it, this is really beautiful. And I understand if it's early, you don't want to tell anybody.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. You know, I waited till about 12 or 14 weeks. I think I nearly waited 4 or 5 months on the second one. But anyway, that's a whole other conversation. But actually, you know, the thing is, do wait a little while, because otherwise it's like the longest pregnancy in history.
Yeah.
You know, and for everybody. But and actually, if they're planning the wedding and the wedding's happening in November, it's, you know, you'll probably end up telling them before that. But, you know, the reality is it should add to the happiness. you and your father have a very special bond because, yes, you may not have been as close. Maybe you felt closer to your mum when she was alive. And then a long illness is very difficult.
Yeah, it's very hard.
Very difficult on the partner, difficult on the children, difficult on everybody. And so you've come through that and then you found each other and found comfort with each other. And you very kindly gave him permission and, you know, encouraged him to get on with his life.
Yeah.
And he has chosen someone that you would rather see
dead.
But no, I get it. I get it. It's frustrating. Yeah. You don't have to live with her. You know, maybe you're afraid it's going to be too much involved. You know, the thing is, if this is your father's choice, I'm afraid you're going to have to honor it. And I feel bad for that, that you don't, you need to find little spaces where you can just be with him if need be. You know, just because he's marrying her doesn't mean you have to engage with her as much, right?
Yes.
The reality is she's not your mother, nor will she ever be.
No.
Right? The best approach you can have now is to try and disengage emotionally from that situation because you need to protect yourself and don't be getting the stress. If they want to do all the wedding, then that's fine. Your father's probably thinking the same. Thank God he doesn't have to do anything. You know, and so why don't you make special arrangements with your dad? Let them organize themselves. But why don't you do nice things with your dad separately about it and be excited? And then in time, maybe Irene will settle down when she's married. I don't know. Doesn't really matter. You can't really change that. And if this is his choice, this is his choice.
Yeah. I think it's a few things, right?
Okay.
Firstly, I totally agree with what you said there. You don't need to engage with Irene
Not
or the gaggle.
Overly so.
And this, I think it's important to say up the front, none of them are going to replace you.
No.
You are his daughter.
Ever.
He's known you since you were a dot.
Yeah.
So there is you shouldn't feel like your relationship is under threat here with your father. Okay. And I think what's happening here as well is I think that you're an only child. So, you know, you're used to having the full attention of your dad and your mom when she was around. And things are changing a little bit. I think it's interesting that he thought the problem was the inheritance. And I hope that he has, I guess, made that clear as to what.
Well, a will is very important.
Yeah.
Money is always a problem.
Yeah, it's always going to be a problem. And, you know, you're an only child. You are entitled to that conversation. But I think by reading of this, the conversation has been had.
Yeah.
I think what you need to do is remember that the wedding is always about the bride.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
It's,
and Bridezilla and our little lizards are this is going to be their day.
Let them.
And I think leave them off. What you could do, I think, in the run up to the wedding is get your dad a nice present. Go out and get him like a nice set of cufflinks or something.
Yeah, something personal for you.
Yeah, something really personal. And just write a card, tell him how much you love him.
And that you're happy for him.
That you're happy for him and thank him for everything he's done for you and that you are so excited for this next chapter in his life and that you wish him well and you'll always be with him.
And understand that, you know, you're about to give him the best gift that he'll ever have.
Yeah, which is your approval. And also the baby.
Don't make him choose.
No, don't make him choose. The other thing that I would say, right, now, I've never been pregnant.
Okay.
I've had a few scares.
I can help.
Few near misses. But what I will say is, we've all taken a risk. What I would do is, I would tell him about the baby, even though it's early. Just you and him. And you could do it maybe when you're giving him his present and his card and having this nice moment and go, look, I don't want to do this close to the wedding, but I'm just telling you now, very early. And the one thing, I'll tell you why, right? This is always my reasoning on this.
Okay, go on.
Because, and this was the reason when I would, you know, talk to my sisters when they'd be pregnant or something. And I would always say, you know, if in the awful event that something did happen, people will find out anyway.
Yeah, they will.
And they don't get to enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
They miss out on the bit where they get to enjoy it. So let them enjoy it.
Make it, and you can make it something between just you and him, which would be really lovely. You know,
he doesn't have to announce it to the lizards.
No, and you can say to him, look, I'm not really telling anybody, but, you know, you're my dad and I love you And, you know, because you get married, I don't want it to kind of land in on top of that, you know. And if I see him a little emotional at times, which might excuse any kind of, I want to kill them people. But, you know, and then.
If you see me at the reception with a steak knife up to Irene Strongton.
Just, it's all hormones. All hormones. There isn't a jury that'll convict you. But.
She sounds.
No, yeah. You see, you only get one side
such
here
limited
now.
Limited information, out. But she sounds awful.
I just the best sentence I've ever read
and
out.
The daughters. The
best. But I, you know, I'll be honest with you, Eve. There's a lot more positive than negative here.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm so excited for you, and I really pray that everything's going to be good for you, and that it'll go through well. The more stress you put yourself under now, so just absolve yourself of that, and just enjoy your relationship with your dad. Just because he chooses someone else, you don't have to look at her as anyone else that makes your dad happy. If he feels happy, it may not be how you would want it for him, but seriously, you can't make those choices for the
people.
Anything
that makes your dad happy after what he's been through is worth its weight in gold.
Yeah,
right?
Even if she is a harridan.
Even if she's a wagon. Mm. The other thing I will say is that you've done the hard bit in all of this.
You have.
Like, the stuff that we're telling you is this is all easy. This is all just the cherry on the cake.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that you had the, I guess, the cool period with your dad and you didn't speak and you've resolved all that and you've chatted about it. Like, that's all the hard stuff. Everything else now
is about minding you.
It's all about gravy. It's just gravy.
Yeah.
And it's, you're just feeling a little bit lost in the sauce. And I think.
But you've done everything right so far.
Absolutely. So there's no reason to think you won't do everything right going forward.
Yeah.
And I think the present, the card, really clear how you feel about him.
Yeah.
You're his girl. Daddies and girls.
I know.
You know.
It's, I know it's precious and it's and it is what it is. I honestly believe, you know, there's something beautiful about a handwritten card.
Yeah, it's lovely.
And especially if it's not something that you do on a regular basis. I mean, you know, it's just a moment or it's out of the blue, not even for a specific thing. You know, honestly, Eve, you are already ahead of the game, as Gerard says, because you've already done the hard bit.
Yeah.
You know, you've had the conversation, you've said what you need to say, but you can't keep saying it. It doesn't make it less true for him. It doesn't make it. She may turn out to be a mistake, but that's up to him to discover that.
Yeah.
You know, and stop now. I wish you could see Grove's face here now. I swear to God.
Nice that was a mistake.
Yeah, but you know.
Let's see that bitch's face crumple. But yeah, Nee's right. A handwritten card.
Handwritten card.
I must go back to that because that was one of the reasons I bought me stamp. I'm sick of writing cards.
Just don't feckin' laminate my card.
The next card I get you is going to be laminated.
No.
It's going to be signed with a stamp.
I won't be able to open it because it's bloody laminated. Oh my gosh, be careful what you wish for, Eve. But no, seriously, and you know, keep yourself well, keep away from the stress, and don't be stressing about this. Your dad loves you, you love your dad, that's all that matters. The fact that he's marrying someone that you wouldn't necessarily choose, yeah, that's not important. It isn't really. You know, unless you feel that there's some sort of neglect or abuse going on.
The only thing that's difficult about in all of this is that she won't be able to drink at the wedding.
Eve, I bet you didn't think about that. I mean, she was probably feeling good about herself right up until
that
moment. You just impressed
now,
her.
I'd have to be absolutely wanker drunk to get through that time. But look, you know, you'd be grand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you take Valium when you're pregnant?
Do you know, it's a funny thing, actually. Sometimes when you're pregnant, you become very serene.
Do you?
Yeah, you do, because your body is. Well, first of all, they're sucking all the best bits out of you for a start because you put all the nutrients into your baby. But actually, you do become quite chill. There's a period, I don't know when it is, it's like maybe the second trimester when you're kind of the worst of the, oh my God, your body's gone through cataclysmic change to get there. And then there's a kind of a period where you're kind of, you know, just growing the baby and it's all very chill. And then, like, then you get to the point where, please let this be over, like, near the end. Usually you're knackered and you can't go. But there's a period in the middle that seems
quite. Is that
quite,
when you're nesting?
Yes, not a nesting. It's like.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and wanting to basically, please let this be over. You know, this whole thing. Now, I quite enjoyed my pregnancy, so, it was, you know, it was fine. But they are long. They are long. And, you know, and the thing is, but there is a period where you're quite. Usually, as long as you're well, to be fair. But there is a period where you get quite chill and zen and feel like you're Mother Earth or something. I don't know what happens. It's very strange.
Very nice.
It might not be true for everybody, but it certainly was true for me. So I'm hoping that that's coming for you, Eve, because you might need it.
Something to look forward to.
Okay.
It's always lovely to talk to you. It's always an absolute blessing. Our merch is on sale.
Oh my God, I'm so excited for the merch.
If you would like to subscribe on Headstuff Plus, we would greatly appreciate it.
Oh yes, because the more subscribers we have, we might be able to upgrade the merch into hoodies.
Yeah, we do.
I want Agony Rants hoodies.
Agony Rants hoodies. agonyrants@gmail.com if you want to get in touch. We would love your stories.
Please.
And your problems. Mm-hmm. And we will endeavour to solve as many as we possibly can.
Yeah, and the good thing about merch is it makes very good Christmas presents. I know it's very early to talk about the Christmas thing.
It's never too early, Mies.
No.
It's only about 3 paydays.
I know.
There is a new episode of Vintage Rants out this week, isn't there?
I think so. Well,
it's every second Thursday.
We have.
If it's not this Thursday, it's next Thursday.
We're confusing everybody. But the thing is, so far there's about 3 of them out, and they are amazingly funny.
They're so much fun. Yeah. I absolutely love them.
You should be feeling a lot of FOMO if you're not subscribing.
Yeah, and I think what we're going to do is we're going to have a little Vintage Rants glimpse.
Oh yes, but only like a tease. You know, it's like a burlesque.
We'll chat to you next week.
Bye.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.